I've never watched Star Wars.
Yeah, we need to fix that.
Here's some money. Go see a Star Wars. Go see a Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
It's a trap!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Welcome back, Disflix fans, to Let's Go Watch a Star War. I am, of course, Cassie, and we have Josh, a.k.a. Tombstone Josh.
What's up? How you doing?
Good, good. Yay, we're back. Episode 2. This is a collaborative... Yeah. And this is the collaborated series between Disflix and Tidbits and the Disnoid podcast. We are in episode 2, and you know what that means? Josh just saw Star Wars.
I did, yes. Episode 4,
A New Hope.
I saw my first, which was number 4.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it was weird.
So, how do you feel? Do you feel any different?
I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
One in particular that's going to make me sound like the dumbest person of all time, probably.
No dumb questions here.
but I mean, pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it. I'm ready to kind of talk the film and, you know, I just have questions.
Okay. That's what I like to hear. So for the listeners that are just jumping right into this, this will be a mini-series where we record the momentous occasion of walking Josh through the Star Wars franchise for the first time. As we learned from the last episode, he has only watched a little bit of Episode 1, Out of Context, and Solo, A Star Wars Story, and really doesn't know anything about the franchise. So this is like his story, well, his journey into all of the episodes. But there's going to be a little twist. We're going in machete order, so that means episode 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, 7, and 8, skipping episode 1 entirely, and hopefully ending right around
when The Rise of the Skywalker comes out in theaters.
So, also disclaimer, because I've had a couple people ask me some questions between these two episodes, I, nor anyone else, is making Josh do this or try to push Star Wars fandom on him in any way.
No, this was me coming to you kind of asking for help. As kind of like a flip-flop role. If you wanted to know about drums or which drummers are cool or which ones to listen to, I would help you out and point you in the right direction. I came to you asking for, hey, I've never watched these. I know you know a lot about them. Help me out. Tell me how to do it, and I'd love to have somebody to talk to about it. So that's pretty much the deal.
Yeah. We're really good podcasting friends, and we just like to talk about different things. So this is just a fun collaboration between the two of us. And I feel like I need to nip this in the bud right away because of some people asking about this. And also with the fandom right now being very toxic. Some of the fandom is being very toxic and with a lot of negativity from the last two episodes coming out. So there's no anger. There's no like, hey, you need to like this or not. I even mentioned to Josh, like in the last episode, I didn't record it, unfortunately, but I just said, there's no pressure in you liking this at all. If you don't like it, don't like it.
Yes. And I believe I told you up front, I was going to try and be as unbiased as possible. As long as I've been out of the series, I want to come in this with fresh eyes and not stick to my, you know, I've never seen this. I don't need to see this. I mean, I have an open mind. I want to check it out.
So. Yeah. So anyway, that's our disclaimer. This is just fun. So now that we got that out of the way and I've been talking way too much, I'm dying to know, what did you think about A New Hope?
I thought it was really fun. It was a much easier watch than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
At first, I was hesitant about the age of it and how that would relate and, you know, how it would look to me and if I could stay interested just because of the way it looked. I had no problems. There was a great storyline that kind of kept my interest into the movie. So the way it looked really didn't matter. So, I mean, from the get-go, there was really not any breaks. It was, I wouldn't say action-packed all the way through, but it was interesting from start to finish.
Yeah.
That's my my first impression, I guess.
First impression? Okay. So, yeah, it is, like, kind of slow. Like, I watched it at the same time as you, and mm-hmm. I was trying to get back into it, and I still have the original version in my head, and I know you don't know what that means.
Oh, okay. But, did I not see the original version?
So in 1997, George Lucas decided he wanted to add some things to the movie to further enhance it because there was no technology at the time. I mean, this came out in 1977. So I don't know if you noticed it, but there's a lot of CGI characters in there. Did you notice that?
No, if there was, I did not notice. Was it the alien looking? Was it the weird looking things? Are you talking about like space stuff?
No, it's just like throughout the whole movie, he inserted like CGI creatures in there. So you probably had the original version. Oh.
I mean, I didn't notice. I mean, I could have just not been paying enough attention.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't notice anything weird.
So, question, was there a scene between Han Solo and Jabba?
Yeah, where like he walked on his tail or stepped on his tail as he went behind him? Yeah.
Okay, so did any of that look like a little weird when he walked behind him?
I think I was more listening to what they were saying so that I didn't miss anything to pay attention to the graphics that were going on. So I didn't notice if there was.
Okay, so that's interesting. Yeah. From like someone with a fresh point of view on this, didn't really notice the changes. So that's a good thing, I think. Yep. That whole scene was never in the original.
Oh, okay.
That Jabba is completely CGI animated and was put in later. And he, kind of spoiler alert, we see Jabba again, and you'll notice that he doesn't look the same.
Okay. So I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, so that's pretty interesting. I have the original version like still stuck in my head, so whenever I see like the newer version, it's kind of jarring to me. Mm-hmm. And I just like kept pointing them out, but there's like it was bugging me because some of it didn't make sense, and I know you didn't notice any of them, but it was odd for me to
see those. I mean, do you feel like the stuff that was added made sense or was needed or was just a reach?
For me, I don't think it was needed. I think he was trying to fill the space or trying to add something that he always had on his mind that he never got to back then. And I understand that, but the stuff he made didn't make sense. Didn't add to the story, nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were these books that were made into movies, or was this just something he came up with and went straight to movie?
It's something he came up with straight to movie.
Okay, that's cool.
Books came later. So, like, there's a whole universe dedicated to the Star Wars lore, and not necessarily the characters you saw, like Luke, Han, and Leia, and Chewie, and Ben. It's like an extended universe. I mean, this universe is so vast. Like, all those little creatures you saw in the cantina, robots you saw in the Death Star, they all have a name, they all have a story, and they all have a purpose.
Wow.
Because that's
pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's how big the universe got, because...
Well, that was interesting. I think I paid a lot of attention to what was happening, where they were going with the story, and the main characters. I didn't really focus too much on the aliens or whatever you're supposed to call them. You know, I didn't, and the background people. I didn't pay too much attention to them. But I would assume that the more you watch these, you pay attention to other things going on. So
yeah, I'm sure. Like, if you watch it again, you'll notice like little things here and there.
And I'll even say it was cool. Some of the stuff that you see in the movie that I'd never seen before and had no knowledge of. Mm-hmm. It was cool seeing how they've put those things in Galaxy's Edge. Like our friend Brad, Views with Hughes, whenever he was there, you know, I was watching his videos like, well, this stuff looks cool, but I have no idea what it is. And then you watch the movie and you see the stuff and it's like, wow, that's neat. Makes sense then.
Yeah. Can you understand a little bit of his excitement so far?
Yeah, character-wise and landscape made a lot more sense to me.
Okay. did you catch the blue milk? I know you were paying attention to story, but did you catch it?
I want to say I did. Was it the family had it?
Yeah, like yeah, his okay. aunt said, drink your blue milk, Luke.
Yes, yes, I did catch that, yep.
Yeah, this is like your introduction into Star Wars. A little tidbit here. This was called Star Wars when it came out. That's it. That was the title. 1981 okay. is when they kind of changed the beginning, that like scrolling text, to Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. So they changed it later.
So they changed it before making sequels or after?
It was actually after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think the next one came out 2 years later. So Star Wars Episode 4 came out 1977. Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, came out in 1980. They changed the title okay. in 1981.
Oh, you think there was a reason for that or just...
I haven't done too much research into it. It probably could be George Lucas, like, having a brainstorm and just adding things, as we talked about with 1997, the re-releases.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't find my notes, but I know the questions will pop up in my head as we go.
Okay. Who is your favorite character in this first episode?
I related super hardcore to Han Solo. I felt like that was my dude. And it was not even Harrison Ford bias. It was just, I really liked his character. He was cool. And this is probably going to sound awful to other Star Wars people, but he kind of reminded me of, like, maybe if Corey Feldman didn't go on the track he went, Corey Feldman could have been that kind of actor.
Oh,
I just
okay.
I loved watching him act in this, and he had kind of like a playful, kiddish approach. And I related super, super to that. So he was my favorite character. Right,
I'm actually not surprised uh-huh. because that is almost everybody's favorite character. It's my husband's favorite character of all time.
He's so cool, man.
Yeah, he is. He's like that bounty hunter that doesn't care. And he's like,
yeah.
I'm not with the Force. I'm not with the bad guys over here. I'm just me making a quick buck.
Yep, that's right. It was cool, man. I liked it.
Oh, good. So, did you not like a character?
Should I go ahead and get my dumb question out of the way up front?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because my perception of this character changed completely after I found this out.
Okay.
Please don't laugh at me, okay? This is going to sound so bad. But I had no idea that Darth Vader talked. Like, I honest to God thought he was like Michael Myers and just walked around with that breath sound all the time.
That's interesting because I thought we asked you in the first episode that you knew it was James Earl Jones. Did you just think he was under the mask?
Because of that one line. I thought that one line, the father line, I am uh-huh. your father, whatever it is, I thought that's the only line he spoke. Honestly.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, whenever he was talking the whole time, to me it kind of took away his, I don't know if allure is the right word, but it kind of made him not seem as menacing.
Really?
In my view, yeah. I just, like, I always thought he was a quiet dude that just did evil things. But him talking and interacting with the people, and there was, like, that one old dude that was kind of bossing him around. I was like, that doesn't make sense to me that he's kind of telling this guy what to do. It's freaking Darth Vader. But
yeah.
That threw me off so bad.
Okay. I don't know if you knew this, but in the original trilogy, David Prowse is the guy behind the mask.
Okay. Kind of so, like the shape.
Yeah. So he was the one that was walking around, and they actually used his original voice in the beginning. But then they hired James Earl Jones because he had a more menacing voice.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So they added him later because they thought it would give him a more, like, deep, like, menacing voice, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's interesting that you thought that.
Yeah, that was, like, as soon as I seen him walking around and talking, and I was like, it kind of killed it for me, to be honest with you. Like, the I don't know what the right word is, but it just made him seem not as strong to me. For whatever reason. I mean, maybe something's going to happen in the next movie that kind of ramps him back up. Because spoilers, he got away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can understand why you thought that, because it's probably like the Disney parks that's getting in your head, because he doesn't talk that much in the parks, right?
Oh, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I've never done anything Star Wars at the parks either, other than Star Tours. So.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe that's where you got that from, but I kind of get that. It's not a stupid question at all. I kind of get that.
Like, I promise you, I thought he just walked around and, you know, did his hand gesture or whatever it is that he does. And that was the way he handled business. So it was just weird to me. I wouldn't say it was bad. It was just weird. I wasn't expecting that.
So he's kind of a lackey. Like, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but, like, in this movie, he's kind of a lackey. Like you said, he's, like, under Tarkin's control, sort of. And he is, like, the one that does the business while Tarkin is the mouthpiece, you know? I think that was the message that they were trying to do with this first film, because there was a lot of risk-taking. There was a lot of experiments in this one. And you'll notice as soon as the story goes along that things will change and make a lot more sense as the plot continues.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. So are you saying that your least favorite is Darth Vader because of that then?
No, he was still cool. It just wasn't as, like, I always thought of him as a scary character. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, that went away as soon as I heard him talking. I don't know why. That's just what I thought of.
Okay.
Least favorite character. This is probably going to sound bad too, but I thought Luke was really annoying. Like, he was playing the teenage kid so well. I was like, oh, that kid's annoying and whiny and talking back, and that kind of bugged me. So I'm kind of interested to see where he matures and what happens next with him. So.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
So I'm not laughing at you. I'm not at all. I'm laughing because you're mimicking what everybody else has been saying.
Oh, fantastic.
That's exactly the reason why people did not like Luke to begin with, was in this first episode, because he's very whiny and he kind of gets on your nerves. And
See, I wasn't sure if that was just him or if he was playing the role of the annoying younger kid. So, like I said, I'm interested to see where he goes. So he rubbed me the wrong way. So,
okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's like an understandable reason of why you didn't like him. And that is a very common reason. So
that's cool. I don't feel so left out. All right.
So I've been asking a couple of questions. Do you have a question for me right off the bat?
Are stormtroopers robots? Or are they people inside of armor?
So there's kind of two questions or two answers to this.
Okay.
I always thought they were robots, but
they are actually people that have been trained to be soldiers, but it was said that they are actually clones.
I mean, they were communicating so much that I always thought that they were robots.
Mm-hmm.
But they were communicating so much in the movie, I thought, oh, okay, maybe these are people that are talking and relaying all this information. So that kind of threw me off. But you know what?
It's just a big military function. Yeah. So they all, like, it's in the future, so they all have, like, intercoms in their helmets and everything.
Oh, okay. I mean, to be robots, though, they were really awful shots. So they're probably not tactical robots. Yeah.
They are notorious for not being the greatest shots in the world.
I noticed that. There was that one scene with Luke and the princess on that ledge where the door was closed behind them and they were shooting at the three guys. Mm-hmm. But they kept missing them. I was like, what in the world?
I know, yeah. They're the worst shots in the world. Now that you're part of the fandom, you'll hear that a little bit more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if it's jumping ahead, but I really liked the, probably my favorite scene of the movie was the end. You know, all the rockets or whatever they're called, the spaceships flying around and chasing each other and stuff. That was really cool. I really got into that. But yeah, that was probably my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Okay. Yep. So the Rebel base, their go-to ship is called the X-Wings because they're shaped like an X.
Okay. Is that the ones with the flat sides?
No, that's the Galactic Empire's Imperial TIE Fighters.
Okay.
The rebels are Luke and Leia. That side. Those are the rebels.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
So they fly X-Wings.
The ship he was in at the end, that's an X-Wing? The red and white one?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Those are X-Wings. Yeah, those were awesome. Yep.
So was that your ultimate favorite scene? Was that last ship or spaceship battle?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
Yep, that one definitely got my heart racing most and kind of got me like up in my seat and watching and waiting to see what happened. And that was, and it was like so many of the good guys that were like blowing up and stuff. I was surprised by that. So that kind of just had me up and watching and really into it.
Yeah, because they were trying to show that like they are a small force compared to that Death Star, which is like just this big military type weapon that cannot be stopped, because you saw they blew up a planet with that. So
would you be able to explain the difference? Like, I was confused on what the Imperial is and what the Rebels were. Like, the whole time I thought the Rebels were the bad guys, and then I didn't understand what a Resistance was.
Okay.
So is the Imperial the bad guys?
Yes.
Okay.
The Imperial Force is like what Darth Vader is a part of, and General Tarkin, and the Death Star. Basically, the Resistance is that group of people on the Rebels' side.
Okay.
Yeah. Leia had the key to the Death Star's, like, basic blueprint of where their weakness was.
Yeah.
That's why they held her that whole time, was they were trying to get information from her. And that's why she called for Obi-Wan. That's why Luke got involved.
Mm-hmm.
They joined the Resistance to stop Imperial Military of the Galactic Empire. All right. So do you have like a least favorite scene that just seemed a little too boring?
I don't know about boring, but I thought that the scene where they were in the trash compactor, I was like, that was really weird. Like,
oh,
this
really?
Is where they're going with their build-up for this. They're stuck in the trash compactor and they're about to be smushed. I thought that was kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't a bad scene. I mean, like, to be honest with you, I can't think of a bad scene. I was really interested in the whole movie. Nothing really seemed boring or bad to me. The whole thing seemed kind of was just fun.
Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you think of C-3PO and R2-D2?
Some memories popped up. I do remember seeing those as a kid, like especially R2-D2. I want to say maybe I had a toy R2-D2 when I was a kid. So whenever I seen them a lot more in the movie, it started to draw back some memories, and I really liked him. I thought the gold guy, what's C-3PO?
Yep.
I thought he was kind of annoying, but I, you know.
That was the whole point of him, yeah.
Yeah. But no, they were cool. They all played great roles. At times it just seemed like the C-3PO guy was just there because he could translate what R2-D2 was saying. That's what it felt like to me. But it was cool. I mean, everybody had a great role. I enjoyed everybody.
Okay.
The Obi-Wan or Ben or whatever he was in this movie, I'm still not sure why his name was different. He reminded me of the dad from Frasier. Do you remember that show, Frasier?
Oh, yeah.
That's who I thought it was at first. I was like, is this the actor from Frasier? Because I had no idea who it was. But that was cool.
The reason why I had two names is because, I won't go too into the lore, but just based on this episode, he went into hiding. And so that's why he renamed himself Ben Kenobi, which is not that far from Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
I think he probably just wanted to put his like Jedi past in the past. Because as you notice, there's only like two Jedi in this film. The Jedi are not basically there anymore. So that's probably why he changed his name. So he wouldn't
be hunted. He just didn't want to do it anymore. I gotcha. Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
So that's why he did that.
I didn't know if there was two mindsets, or if he was two different people. I didn't know what was going on.
I mean, he is and he isn't. Like, if you think about it, like, Obi-Wan is the Jedi master, you know, mm-hmm. and then Ben Kenobi is the old hermit that lives in the hills, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I actually, when you were watching the movie, I went to Twitter and mm-hmm. asked our friends if they had any questions for someone who just watched a Star Wars.
We're going to see if they're still our friends after these questions.
No, they're actually pretty good. So I think I'm missing one because I think they deleted it. But Josh, the other Josh, Josh-O-Rama, he asked a couple questions. He said, how bored were you?
How what?
How bored were you?
I wasn't. I was entertained the whole time. I was.
Why is Luke so whiny?
I'm guessing he's a teenager. I don't know how old he is in the movie, but he reminds me of my teenage daughter. And I was like, this kid is annoying. So I'm guessing he's teenage. That's why he's annoying.
So I think he technically, like, you have to look this up, how old Luke is.
I believe he's 19.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Bad kid.
And then the last question, did you think the Vader-Obi-Wan fight was as lame as I did?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, yes, I did. That was very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you. And I'm not trying to jump ahead in these movies, but the way that Obi-Wan died, if you can see my bunny ears, died, I wasn't sure if he vanished, like teleported himself out of there, because the way that robe just kind of fell, I didn't know if he actually died or not. So, but yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic. I thought it was a little lame.
Yeah, but you gotta think about the time that it came out. This is new technology. They were just playing with fencing poles. That's what they. Yeah. So and it was probably hard to fight in that helmet and suit. I know. I'm trying to defend it, but. Recently.
Yeah, it wasn't very exciting.
So, according to lore or fans, whoever you want to listen to, Vader doesn't actually kill Obi-Wan. As you see, before he is hit, he kind of disappears and he kind of becomes one with the Force and disappears. This is kind of a controversial topic amongst Star Wars fans, so I can't confirm it to be true or not.
I have to agree there. When I first watched it, I thought it was really exciting because I was a little kid. But recently, in the past couple months, there has been this new fan-made fight scene between those two.
Okay.
Where it's a lot more action-packed, which I will show you. And a lot of us fans have watched it and we're like, oh gosh, this fight sucks, you know? But yeah, I'll show you that.
Okay.
So our friends at Haunters podcast.
Yes. That's my boy.
Do you see why A New Hope is so special?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't. It was a good movie, but I have not been bitten by that bug per se.
Okay.
To me, it's just to me so far it's just another movie.
Okay. Fair.
Is there a thought out there that that's the best of the movies? Or,
no.
Or is that typically everyone's favorite?
No, it isn't.
Okay, cool. I didn't know.
Not normally.
All right, cool.
So the second part of the question is, or does it play like any space movie?
A little bit better than any space movie. I'll say that.
Okay.
I'll say that.
At Kim Hanley asked, were there any things you knew about from pop culture references that surprised you in context that suddenly made more sense from this movie?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples, maybe? Because nothing's coming to mind.
You rode Star Tours, right, with R2 and C-3PO?
Yeah.
Does that make more sense now? But I guess you did mention, looking at Batu, Galaxy's Edge makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Seeing stuff seeing stuff in the movie now, to me, they were just random characters. When I seen Brad's video, they were just random background people. But now seeing them in the movie, they perfectly relate back and forth, which is really cool to me.
What about your brother's obsession with Princess Leia?
Well, he has an obsession with Rey. That's his giant crush. Now, Princess Leia was a whole lot prettier than I thought she was going to be. I didn't know she was that pretty because I have only seen the actress more recently.
Okay.
So she was a lot prettier than I thought she would be. She was really bossy, though. I don't know if that was her role or her deal because she was the princess, but to me, she came off kind of bossy. I'm trying to think of other things that I don't know. I guess maybe I don't know what pop culture Star Wars stuff is out there.
It probably hasn't, like, hit you because you haven't watched the movies, so...
Yeah.
It probably... Maybe, like, when we get into more movies, it might make sense. Like, maybe the more recent ones that might trigger something.
There was no famous quotes that jumped out, like, as, oh, I've heard that before. I didn't have any of that. I mean, it was so brand new to me. Just everything was brand new, so...
So you never heard May the Force Be With You?
Well yeah. Yeah, I heard that one. But at the time when they said it didn't pop in my head like, oh, I've heard that before.
Okay.
It was kind of just background.
Did you pick up on when in the last episode I said Han shot first?
I remember you saying that, but I don't know what you're talking about.
So when we first meet Han and he makes an agreement to help Luke and Obi-Wan, right? And he's sitting in a cantina, but he gets held up by Greedo, that green alien.
Yeah.
In the original version, before these re-releases, Han shot first and killed Greedo right away.
That's how it went.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he had that gun hiding under the table?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So, in 1997, George Lucas added Greedo's shot, where Greedo shot first and then Han shot second.
Oh, you know what? Yes, you're right. He shot and missed, and then... Yep, okay.
Okay, so you got that version.
Yep, there you go.
The version that I have, he changed it again and had them shoot at the exact same time.
Oh, really? No, it was kind of like a bang-bang. Like one in the other, yep.
Okay, so you had that version. All right. Yeah, that is a big Star Wars fan thing that we like to say because Han shot first and then George Lucas kind of changed it.
Oh, geez, why would he change that?
I don't know.
Because it seemed like he was cornered, and that was his way of getting out. So it made sense for him to shoot.
Yeah. I think it was something like along the lines of...
he wasn't
going
to get out of that situation.
Yeah. I think it was something along the lines that George Lucas thought that he was, like, always a good guy. He wasn't, like, ever neutral. But when he first portrayed him, he was, like... a neutral bad guy, you know, but like who cares what he does, but he changed it to make him like better than he actually is. I don't know.
I gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
So Kim had another question. What do you think will happen in episode 5?
Darth Vader returns to, I don't know, to fight the people that took out his circle star thing.
The Death
Star. Was it his? See, I'm so confused on who the leader was. Like, out of all this time, I thought he was the main bad guy. But according to this movie, he's a henchman. I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of the henchman in this one. And the Death Star kind of just belongs to the Imperial Force.
Yeah, so, I mean, my whole guess is there's revenge coming. So, but I don't know in what form it's coming. That's my guess.
Our friends from Disney Discussions podcast... He also said that have him speculate on what happens in the next movie. And then he added, see if he can pick out any of the special scenes from the original movie, which we talked about.
Yeah, I couldn't. Without you pointing out the whole thing with him walking around the Jabba the Hutt guy, I wouldn't have known that was special.
Okay.
But I was so locked into what they were talking about that I wasn't really paying attention to the graphics. Because I didn't want to miss any storyline plot.
That's fair. Yeah. So, one thing that I really love about this movie that is kind of... like, raises
the hairs on the back of my neck is John Williams' score. And we kind of like, we first hear it from like the very beginning with the scrolling text. Like you hear that ultimate song, you know, and then another time when Luke is looking at the suns as they're
fading into the sunset. It was kind of like a beautiful setting.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was different suns. Like that was another thing that kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. Yeah. The music was great. It was perfectly timed. Everything sounded elegant and full and really captured the moment. I really loved the music.
Yeah. And that's what's great, I think, about these films. It's like, number one, it's that music, to me anyway, because it ebbs and flows with all the different scenes and the emotions, like when Luke finds his uncle and aunt and they're like skeletons, and you hear that like soft, mellow music that you feel sorry for the kid, and he has nowhere to go, so might as well join the resistance with everyone else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then like how it builds up during the fight, during the sky fights and the space fights now. But that's what I love about this first movie, is that not only like being introduced to all the characters. I was drawn to Han Solo first.
Mm-hmm.
As well, when I first watched this movie. But like I said, I watched these out of order when I was a little kid.
Okay.
So I didn't really understand everything, but when I rewatched it in order, I was drawn to Han Solo just like you. And I think a lot of people were.
Yeah. He seems like the most fun character.
Yeah. He has the most personality that you want to root for.
Yeah. So the Solo movie... is that predated in storyline a little before this happens? Because he didn't seem much younger.
I think it's... I want to say it's 10 years before. I didn't look it up.
Okay.
But I want to say it's 10 years before the events here happen.
No, I was just wondering because he didn't, like... I know that it's supposed to be a prequel, I guess, a story before...
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't seem much younger from Solo to this.
Yeah.
Like to me it almost seemed like the same character, different actor.
Yeah. I don't think it was that much. Like I may not be that far off, but I'm sure it's somewhere in the lore, like when it actually takes place, but I think Disney's trying to sweep it under the rug like it never happened because it didn't make enough money.
Oh man. Well, I thought there was a rumor out there that they were making a part two.
That was the whole plan. But since it kind of bombed in the box office, they kind of scrapped everything. But on the anniversary of its year of coming out, a lot of people started writing a petition like, please bring it back. We want to know what happens.
You know what happens. You see it.
No, I mean like with their character arc because, you know.
Oh, I gotcha.
Spoiler alert, Darth Maul's in it at the end. We want to know what happens with him, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so how would you rank this on a scale of 1 to 10, then?
A 1 to 10 of what?
Like, how would you... Like, 1, I will never see this again. Don't talk to me ever about this. 10, I will rewatch this several times. It's the best movie ever.
A 6...
Six. Okay.
Maybe a once every couple years watch.
Okay. Pretty average score.
If the moment seems fit.
Okay. Maybe once you watch all of the original trilogy, you'll watch it in succession.
Yeah, I want to go watch the next one right now because I want to know what's gonna happen and binge watch like we do in our culture nowadays. Yeah. But I know, hey, you gotta be patient, you gotta wait. It'll get there.
We'll get there. I mean, we can speed up the timeline if you want.
We got a good thing going.
Okay. So, you heard it here, he gave it a 6. He's really excited about it. He wants to watch the second one, so far so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do have any questions for Josh that we didn't ask in this episode, please feel free to tweet me or Josh. I'm at DisflixTidbit. There's no S on the end. And your Twitter is?
Tombstone_Josh.
Yeah. And please go and listen to the Disnoids podcast. Subscribe to them. Listen to them. I will leave all the information into the show notes below. And yep. Next episode will be Star Wars Episode 5. The Empire Strikes Back from 1980.
Oh, there you go. Teaser. That's a teaser.
Maybe. I don't know. Illusion.
No, but also, I wanted to throw it out there. If anybody had any direction on something I might have missed or overlooked, I tried really hard to pay really close attention to everything going on in this first movie. And if something I might have missed, let me know that as well.
Yeah, and I might have missed something too, because I tend to forget things when I'm just like off the cuff, like I am. I usually write notes down, but I felt like this was like a good episode to start off with. I didn't want to like recap the movie or anything because that takes a lot of time, but getting right into it.
I was so surprised it was 2 hours long. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know they made movies that long back in the day.
I thought you were going to yell at me when I told you it was 2 hours long.
No, not at all. Like I waited till day of show to watch just so it would be fresh in my mind. So
yeah,
it worked out. Everything worked out.
We will come back in July sometime. Our schedules are kind of like mishmash right now, so we'll see what happens.
Yep.
And don't forget, just let the Wookiee win.
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.